enemies of the promised Messiah. I have mentioned before a great Maulvi, leader of the Ahle Hadith sect and the companion of Hazrat Mirza Sahib from early childhood, who wrote a review of Hazrat Mirza Sahib's first big book, the Brahine Ahmadiyya. The Maulvi described this work of Hazrat Mirza Sahib as one without a parallel in the history of Islam. This same Maulvi became angry and turned into a mortal enemy when Hazrat Mirza Sahib announced his claim to be the promised Messiah. The Maulvi began to think that whatever importance and fame Hazrat Mirza Sahib had attained was due to his review of Brahine Ahmadiyya. Mirza Sahib, the Maulvi thought, owed his reputation to this review. The Maulvi's praise had led Hazrat Mirza Sahib to think excessively of himself. So the Maulvi declared he would repudiate Hazrat Mirza Sahib by criticizing and exposing him, just as he had raised him to importance by his earlier praise. With this intention, the Maulvi set out to tour all over India. He persuaded scores of ulema to put their signatures to a fatwa of kufr prepared by him. Not only Hazrat Mirza Sahib himself, but also his followers were kafirs. Those who did not think them kafirs were kafirs too. This fatwa was printed and published throughout the country. The Maulvi thought he had schemed successfully for the disgrace of Mirza Sahib. However, he did not know that God had decided to dispose of the Maulvi's schemes in his own way. Angels in heaven were rehearsing the divine promise contained in فَحَاقَ بِالَّذِينَ سَخِرُوا مِنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. That which they mocked at encompassed those of them who scoffed. They also rehearsed the divine promise given to Hazrat Mirza Sahib himself, إِنِّي مُهِينٌ مَنْ أَرَادَ إِهَانَتَكَ. I will humiliate him who seeks to humiliate thee. It so happened, dear reader, that not long after the publication of this fatwa, the popularity of the Maulvi began to decline. Until now, he had never passed through a street in metropolitan Lahore without shopkeepers and all others standing in their place out of deference and respect for him. Even non-Muslims, Hindus and others would follow suit and show reverence to him in imitation of Muslims. Wherever he went, he was received with demonstrations of reverence. Seeing his hold on the people, the highest in the country's hierarchy, the provincial governor, the governor general, received him with great courtesy. After the publication of the fatwa, however, for no apparent reason, the great regard he enjoyed among all classes of people began to decline. The decline went on until members of his own sect decided to abandon him. He was no longer the leader he had once been. I have myself seen him at a railway station carrying his own heavy baggage, packages under his arms, on his back, and in his hands, as he walked one in a crowd. People around hardly knew who he was. For some reason, he lost standing in his own neighborhood. Tradesmen and shopkeepers refused to sell anything to him on credit. He obtained his groceries through others. His domestic life also became bitter. Relations with his family deteriorated. His wife secured a separation. Some of his sons and their wives refused to see him. One of the sons gave up Islam. His last days were most miserable. He lost all respect and importance and died unhonored, unsung. His end a moving commentary on the verse, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ انظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. And go about in the earth to see the end of those who treated the messengers of God as liars. A second example of disgraceful death suffered by an enemy is that of Chiragh-Din of Jammu. This man first counted himself a follower of Hazrat Mirza Sahib, but later decided to claim spiritual office for himself. He declared that he had been commanded by God to reform the world. He published pamphlets and articles against Hazrat Mirza Sahib. Not content with this, he decided to pray against him. The prayer was to be printed and published. The prayer said, "Ae Khuda, tera deen is shakhs yani Hazrat Aqdas ki wajah se fitne mein hai aur ye shakhs logon ko darata hai ki taun mere hi sabab se nazil hui hai aur zalzale bhi meri hi takzeeb ka natija hai. Tu us shakhs ko jhoota kar aur taun ko ab utha le taaki iska jhoota hona sabit ho jaye aur haq aur batil mein tameez kar de. O God, this man, meaning Hazrat Mirza Sahib, is the cause of grave mischief in your religion. He is also frightening people by telling them that the plague has come on account of him and that the earthquakes are the result of a denial of his claims. O God, prove him a liar. Remove the plague so that the lie becomes evident and truth manifest from falsehood." This prayer was sent to the press. But how the hand of God seized him. The prayer had only been copied by the Qatib and had not yet been pressed on the printing stone when the plague, which he knew had been described by Hazrat Mirza Sahib as a divine sign and for the disappearance of which this Maulvi had addressed this prayer to God, seized him and his family. First, his two sons, his only children, died. Then his wife left him and ran away with someone else. Then he himself fell a victim to it and died. While he was dying, he said, "O God, even you have abandoned me?" The death of Chiragh-Din of Jammu was eloquent proof that hostility to men of God is no ordinary thing. Sooner or later, it involves the offender in divine punishment. Others besides Chiragh-Din addressed the Dua-e Mubahila, prayer for a divine decree, and were soon seized by God. One was Maulvi Ghulam Dastgir of Kasur, a scholar of the Hanafi school and a man of great influence in his sect. He also prayed invoking divine punishment for the liar. Within a few months, this Maulvi died of plague, an object lesson to all. Another was Fakir Mirza of Dolmial, in the district of Jihlam, who started broadcasting that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, was to end life by the 27th of Ramadan, 1321 after Hijrah. He had had a revelation to this effect, he said. He put this claim in writing and handed the writing to local members of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat. It contained accounts of a vision and the definite claim that if Hazrat Mirza Sahib and his movement did not come to an end by the 27th of Ramadan, 1321 after Hijrah, he would be willing to accept any punishment. The writing was attested by a large number of signatories. An examination of the document showed that it had been written on the 7th of Ramadan. The 27th of Ramadan passed. Nothing happened. The truthful had nothing to fear from the boasts of liars. But the following year, in the month of Ramadan, plague visited Dulmial and claimed his wife. Later, he himself fell a victim to it. And exactly 1 year after he had signed away the fateful document, that is, on the 7th of Ramadan, 1322 after Hijrah, he died in racking pain. A few days later, his daughter also died. Examples of deaths invited by hostile deniers as the judgment of God are many. They run to hundreds or even thousands. Thousands of men defeated in argument and chagrined by defeat addressed desperate prayers to God, asking for the death or discomfiture of Hazrat Mirza Sahib. The result was their own discomfiture or death. The wonderful part of it is that God showed this tragic sign in characteristically different ways. Those who prayed for the death of the liar in their own lifetime died in the lifetime of Hazrat Mirza Sahib. Those who said that a longer life was no sign of being truthful, that in fact liars had longer lives, that Musaylma, the pretender, lived long after the Holy Prophet and so on, lived long and were proved the spiritual kin of Musaylma, the pretender. A sign of the latter kind was provided by Maulvi Sanaullah of Amritsar, editor of the weekly Ahle Hadith. The Maulvi exceeded all bounds. Hazrat Mirza Sahib, following the teaching of the Holy Quran, invited the Maulvi to a mubahila, prayer for a divine decree. The verse of the Holy Quran sanctioning this method of invoking decision by God says, فَمَنْ حَاجَّكَ فِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْ نَدْعُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ وَأَنفُسَنَا وَأَنفُسَكُمْ ثُمَّ نَبْتَهِلْ فَنَجْعَلْ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ. Now who disputes with thee concerning it after what has come to thee of knowledge, say to him, Come, let us call our sons and your sons and our women and your women, and our people, and your people. And let us pray fervently and invoke the curse of Allah on those who lie. The challenge to seek a decision by such a serious prayer frightened the Maulvi. All methods to persuade him to seek a divine decision in this way failed. The Maulvi did not accept the challenge, but did not stop his hostility. Hazrat Mirza Sahib then wrote out a prayer and proposed that the Maulvi should copy and publish it in his paper, Ahle Hadith. The prayer invoked Almighty God to decide between him and the Maulvi on the criterion that the pretender would die in the lifetime of the other. Even this did not meet with the Maulvi's acceptance. Again and again he wrote and wrote strongly that this was no criterion, and that he did not accept it. The Holy Quran, he said, taught that the liar had a longer lease of life. The law of God proved the same. Musaylma lived longer than the Holy Prophet. God convicted the Maulvi by his own criterion. God gave him a long life and made him live after Hazrat Mirza Sahib had died. The Maulvi thus proved himself a sign of God.